Good evening, Teach Better family. It's Brad Hughes with you in the Sunday weekly warm-up space. And next to me is the incredible Jackie Mion, who is with us as a middle school educator, a familiar and friendly face to the Teach Better family, and as someone who has so much to share about the heart of educating and the heart of wellness and engagement. We're going to be right back after this quick break. Welcome to the Sunday weekly warm-up here in the Teach Better Facebook group.
That got me so pumped up, Brad.
Oh, I know. Behind the scenes, you know, Jackie and I are just doing our little Ray Hewart, master of the transitions commercials, chose that music. And at the end, it says, let's do this. We are here tonight. Welcome, everybody, wherever you are, joining us live on Facebook in the Teach Better Facebook group. This is your Sunday weekly warm-up, and I'm with Jackie Mion, Teach Better friend, Teach Better family member, middle school educator, and I'm so excited to partner with Jackie for tonight's show. So if you're joining us live, wherever you are, hit us up in the comments. Let us know who you are, where you're joining us from, a special message for Jackie, a hello, a wave. We'd love to connect with you in our comments. Maybe you're listening to us and you're viewing us later after our live broadcast. Regardless, make sure you hit us up in the comments. Let us know who you are and what you're enjoying so much about the Sunday weekly warm-up and what you're looking forward to most about connecting with Jackie Mion. Hi, Jackie.
Hi.
It's great to have you with us. We've got Brianna with us saying hello, and we've got a Facebook user also saying hello. If you are joining us live on Facebook, remember to grant StreamYard permission to see your name. You can find that link somewhere in our Teach Better post that advertises this video stream. Grant StreamYard permission, and we can see who you are. Jackie, for those that don't know you yet or would like to get to know you even better, tell us about yourself. Who are you? Where are you? What do you do? What is life like for Jackie Mion right now?
Yeah. So, hey, everybody. So great to be here tonight with my amazing Teach Better family. You guys are the best. I'm Jackie Mion, and I am currently in the suburbs of Chicago, and I teach seventh grade math at the school district that I graduated from. So it is a whole lot of fun at the school that I went to. So yeah, that's where I'm located. And this is my sixth year teaching seventh grade math.
Seventh grade math and middle school, that's no joke, Jackie. I was a middle school administrator as well as a middle school teacher. And there's something really special and also very challenging about living, leading, and learning in that middle school environment. Tell us what lights you up about being a middle school teacher, and maybe in particular, a middle school math teacher.
Yeah, I just love the kids so stinking much. Like, they are at the pivotal point in their lives where they're trying to figure out themselves and their place in the world. And I love just like doing life with them for 9 months that I have them in my room, but they're the coolest people in the planet. And the first day of school, I tell them, I'm like, y'all get a bad rep. Like, middle schoolers are the coolest people. Like, they walk in and I tell them this, I'm like, you guys come into my classroom without a mask on. Like, you just come as you are. And I feel like adults, we know how to put a face on, and you guys don't. And the world needs more of that, because you show up raw, you show up authentic. If you're having a crappy day, I know it. And if you're excited about something, I know it. And that is the coolest thing. I feel like the world needs more of that. They are just the coolest people.
How fortunate for your students, Jackie, to have educators like you who meet them exactly where they are on any given day, any given morning, any given period when they walk into your class, and you are excited to see them, and you're excited to allow them, to encourage them to be themselves.
Yes.
In what ways do you do that? How do you encourage or reinforce that you're an adult who wants kids to be their authentic selves?
Yeah. That's the thing that I say to them from day one is, you know, like, I had a mat on my floor that says, come as you are. I just think that's so important. They need to be able to freely show up as themselves with 2 hours of sleep, with 8 hours of sleep, with no breakfast, with a stomach full of breakfast. Like, they need to be able to show up as themselves before I can ask them to learn and and practice any math. So that's the main priority. And I think for me, what has honed in asking them to do that is for me to also model that, right? Like I can't expect them to do that if I'm not modeling that. And so that has been just the main thing, like, especially with my story. For those of you who don't know, I was diagnosed with brain cancer a year ago, and I battled with telling the kids or not, right? Because I think as educators, we feel like we need to like keep the mask on, right? Like keep this facade that everything's good, everything's good. And I would be lying to myself if I kept that hidden, that I would be able to teach, because I think I needed to share with them, hey, this is my story right now. This is what I'm walking through, you guys. And we're family for 9 months. And just as you get to come as you are, I also need to be able to do that to mm-hmm. you and for you and all that. And so it's allowed me to have really honest conversations about, hey, this is where I'm at. And like, I might be showing up at 50% or 100%, but you get to come as you are as well. So that's kind of modeling that has been really good for the kids too.
Can you talk with me a little bit about your story, your health journey, maybe how you discovered this diagnosis and how you kind of walked that line between looking after yourself, looking after the needs of your family members, but also sharing this important information with the kids that you serve every day?
Yeah. So I was diagnosed with brain cancer last April of 2022. And they found it because they were scanning my brain to update me on a very small tumor that they were just mm-hmm. checking out. And then they ended up finding a golf ball sized mass on the left side of my brain that was completely unrelated to the thing that they were actually looking at. And I was so thankful for that brain scan, because I wouldn't have known that golf ball was hanging out in my brain. So I wasn't having any symptoms. There was nothing showing up. And so I was so thankful for that scan. And that then started the process of like, okay, I have brain cancer. And so that was a whirlwind for me and my hub and my family. I just didn't think I would be walking that. And I had to then go get surgery. So July of 2022, I got surgery, brain surgery. So last school year, I started late, which was hard. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be there on the first day and I couldn't because I was learning how to like walk again. And like the left or the right side of my body was completely offline from them like digging around in my brain. They were able to remove 70% of it. So that was a huge win. I looked at my doctor and I was like, I could never do your job, because like the dissatisfaction in not getting all the cancer out, oh my gosh, like he couldn't remove all of it, just because if he did, I would have been paralyzed on the right side of my body. So he had to leave that in there. And then started the whole process of like, then the cancer treatment, right? Because the goal is to get it completely out. But if they can't get it all out, then you're doing your radiation. So then in the fall, when I came back, I would leave school early and go do my radiation. And that was a whole adventure in itself. I had this face like mask that went on my head that kept my head still. And then this, like, it was like a big KitchenAid mixer that would like spin around my head and then shoot lasers into my brain. That was for 28 days. And I taught through all that. And that was hard, because as the radiation went on, I start to get like the brain fog and the fatigue. And the kids were so sweet because they knew I was going through radiation. I told them all that, and they would laugh at me when I would like make a math mistake on the board. And they're like, it's just the radiation, Miss Mione. They were so sweet to me. And then I started chemo. Before chemo, I had to do egg retrieval, because chemo is like throughout my whole body. I take a pill. So they had to retrieve my egg. So I was doing all of the poking and all that, the needle, the hormone stuff, to retrieve my eggs. And then I started chemo, and I am now heading into this upcoming Monday, my fourth round out of six. So it's a long haul. It's been a crazy year.
I can't imagine, except to say that I follow you on both Facebook and Insta, and I know that this journey, this very personal journey that you're walking with your hub, Ryan, and with your family, with your care team, is also a public journey that you're inviting your followers and your friends to learn along with you, to not only empathize with the journey that you're on, but to learn really, I think, Jackie, about your incredible spirit, of hope and positivity. And I recently, you just posted that you received a number of notes from your kids to help you through these next steps of, I'm not sure if next steps, well, tell us about your next steps and tell us about this package of care that the kids provided for you.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So, So I said goodbye to them on Friday for the next 2 weeks because I'm on leave to start my chemo treatment. So I took 2 weeks off. I just got bombarded with love on Friday. Like I had a huge basket with a bunch of chocolate and Cheetos because they asked me what my favorite chips were and like lotion and like stick-on nails and a soft blanket. And then this one sweet student wrote me a note for every day that I'm gone. And I lost it. I'm like, they're just the best. Like they're so sweet and they're so kind. And I'm so stinking lucky to just know these kids because they don't even know like that the world needs that. Like they don't even realize their impact yet. And it's so sweet to watch. And I feel really blessed to have the sweetest kids that are willing to do that and write personal notes for every day that I'm gone. Yeah.
Jackie, you were letting us know that you were a middle school student at the same school that you teach now. And I wonder if you think back to your middle school adventures, I wonder if there's anything that kind of bubbles up or resonates in terms of how you approach teaching in that environment, middle school in general, what maybe at the specific school in particular.
Yeah. So it's so sweet because day one, I tell the kids that I graduated from here and I tell them, I'm like, I get what it feels like to walk in the halls and I get what it feels like to like awkwardly bump into each other at your lockers because there's like not enough room, you know, and you're like, excuse me, I just need to get my backpack. Like, you know what I mean? Like the lockers are so squished together and I get what it feels like to stand up in the cafeteria and throw your garbage out and feel like everybody is staring at you. Like I understand all of that. Like I get it. I get what, you know, I feel like I work in like a time capsule that like held not only my memories, but I just get to watch my kids walk through the same thing that I did and in different ways and their needs are different. And like, I'm able to relate to them in ways that is so unique because I learned in the same environment and same school that they did. And I loved middle school just because I felt, which is not the norm either. I tell them that. I'm like, it's not the norm. You like most people hate middle school and that's really okay. I loved it. I felt like one big happy family. And so I was like meant to just be stuck in middle school for the rest of my life.
You got your wish. And one thing that I remember about middle school is the incredible opportunities and incredible, I guess, needs that kids that are coming to us in fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth grade it's an in-between time, isn't it? A time between, you know, your junior grades and maybe approaching high school or secondary school. It's a time, as you said, when you are looking out for yourself, discovering yourself, figuring out what matters to you, figure out sort of your place in the school, your place in the world, and walking both lines between, you know, sort of still being a little kid in many ways, but also kind of scratching the surface of adulthood. And what a gift you have to help young people navigate those tricky roads.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's everything from like forgetting to just like put deodorant on in the morning. Uh-huh. You know, I have like an emergency kit in my cabinet for them, you know, loaded with pads and tampons and hair ties and, you know, like, and nail files and chapstick. Like, I get it. Like, I get it. It's hard. It's, you know, it's, you have to get up super early and I forget my deodorant sometimes. I have deodorant in my like desk drawer, you know, so it's just like seeing all their needs beyond just what their math needs are. Like, that's the part that I just love so much because I get to see them as people and they allow me to, which is just the best.
On your Instagram page and on your Facebook feed, I've seen pictures of you celebrating your former students who have come back to say hello. And I, not only do I think that speaks so highly of you as a connector and as someone who, you know, it engenders the kind of relationship where kids want to come back and say hello, but I think it really speaks to your openness and availability to them. They're your kids and they're part of your extended family beyond the classroom.
Yeah. Yeah. I tell them, I'm like, you know, you leave like my room, but you don't really leave. Like, you know, you can come back anytime, you know where to find me. My door is always open for you. And what's really sweet is I have this wheel that, I also found on Instagram through another teacher, Maniacs in the Middle. Shout out to her. She's Woo. Amazing. She has this wheel where like people, like guests come in, and they spin the wheel. And if it lands on orange, then all the kids win a Jolly Rancher. So it's sweet because the kids yeah. in my room are like, can I come back next year and be a guest? And it's like, yeah, you can, you know, and they do. And it's really sweet. And it's sweet to like see my seventh graders, see eighth graders come in. And I think just, you know, building that kind of community between, yes, Josie Benz, go, thanks, Ray. between like the grade levels is just really, really sweet. It builds a sense of family and community for sure. Yeah.
When you think of that sense of family in your middle school setting, Ray Hewitt would often talk about their morning huddles with her team. Tell me about your middle school team and how much they mean to you personally and professionally, especially at such a challenging time for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. My team has been amazing. They're constantly asking, you know, what do I need before I take my leave? You know, are all my worksheets printed and like all that good stuff. And they're always there to offer hugs, and love and support. And they're just the best. They're like, can we get a meal train started for you? And, they're just checking in. And I really, really appreciate that. I don't know what I would do without them just because they've really shown up strong for me when I had to take my leave at the end of last year because chemo was really rough. That's when I had like just gotten started with it in March. And so by the time like spring break hit, I was like, I can't come back. It's, you know, this is really too hard. And so my team just really stepped up and just really offered my sub like a lot of support and just so much love. So I'm so thankful for the teachers that not only taught me that I get to work with, but just the rest of the crew around that just is constantly checking in. And I'm super lucky on that run. Yeah.
Jackie, have you got any shout outs to your team? If you want to name your school or remind us of your school and any shout outs to your team that you want to do just before we take a quick break.
Yeah. So I'm at Fremont Middle School. Shout out to Always a Wildcat. And Jenny Redding, who's on my team, she taught me. She was my advisory teacher when I was a student. Sarah wow. Yakupovich, eighth grade math teacher. I teach in the classroom right next to hers, so we're constantly like between classes, popping out and swapping high fives and hugs. Yep. And Katie Osmick, I teach with her. We kind of got hired at the same time. She's like two doors down. You always can hear Katie's laugh in the hallway. Megan Temple, shout out to her. she's downstairs, but she's just the biggest support system. So there's just so many of them. They're just the best.
I'm excited that you have a chance to recognize your team and really together we do achieve more and we achieve more than maybe we would have even imagined. We're going to take a quick break. And then Jackie, I'd love to dive into some strategies. I'm reflecting on your journey as an educator, but also your health journey. I've got a couple of things I want to shoot by you. So stay Thank tuned. You. We're right back. Stay with us. Welcome back, everybody. It's Brad Hughes, Teach Better team member with a Teach Better family member that we adore. It's Jackie Mion. Jackie is a middle school teacher in Illinois, and we are talking about, well, the heart of teaching, especially middle school teaching. Jackie is a middle school math educator. And following our break, we're just going to shift into some talk about Sunday strategies. Jackie, sound okay?
Yes, that sounds great.
When I have taken a look at the strong work that you do, and I take a look at kids in your math classroom engaged with things like toilet paper and Jolly Ranchers and building projects. What I see you do and like you to maybe to talk about a little bit is helping bridge that gap between kids needing to be engaged as kids and kids needing to solve and be prepared to solve more and more complex problems. So how do you walk that line? How do you get and keep your kids engaged, especially in your middle school math class?
Yeah. So the toilet paper activity is unique. I do that in my intro grid. So before I even say anything more, everything I do is foundational in the grid. So if you're not using the grid or haven't checked out the grid, check it out. I went grid 5 years ago and I have not gone back to traditional teaching, like to go back to traditional teaching. It has just empowered my learners in my room and really provided them a sense of ownership. But the toilet paper activity is one I did in the intro grid. So before we jump into any math content in math grids, I run an intro grid to get the kids familiar in the framework. And we're in the intro grid for about a week and a half. Okay. I take a chunk of time to get them comfortable in the framework. How do you take a quiz? How do you turn in work? What is all of the classroom expectations? And so the toilet paper activity, I stand outside my room for one of the days that we're in the intro grid and getting to know each other with a roll of toilet paper. And as they approach my door, all I tell them is take as much as you think you'll need. And the girls freak out. They're like, Miss Mione, what are you like? It's okay. Just take as much as you think you'll need. The guys walk up and they just won't stop. So I have to be like, okay, I'm cutting you off. So what they don't know is they like walk into the room and I'm like, hang on to your toilet paper. And I'm like, no, you are not using it how you normally would. Okay. Like, we're not doing bathroom training in here. No, we're just going to get that out of the way. So I have them hang on to it. And then at the end of the class period, I have them, I explain, I'm like, so for every square that you grabbed, you need to share one fun fact. So we might be here for a while. You might not be able to go to lunch and that's okay. So they have to share. I mean, some of the guys, I mean, it's like, I have a dog, I have a cat, I have a sister. I mean, it's hilarious. And it just really breaks the ice in the room and really shows the characters in my classroom. So it's a blast. It's an absolute blast. And I want my classroom to be playful before we engage in any content, because the content can be stressful. So there needs to be a foundation of playfulness and love and laughter before I can ask them to do anything mathematical. Yeah.
We've got our friend Brianne Fennell in the comments, and I know that play is near and dear to Brianne's heart. And that sense of playfulness is essential, I think, in any classroom. And I think the sense of playfulness, Jackie, I want to see if you agree, allows you to be you, to allow your own sense of play, your own sense of humor, your own sense of the ridiculous to come to the forefront, which is exactly what I think middle schoolers need. What do you think about that?
Oh, for sure. You have to be ridiculous. Like, in order for them to buy into you, right? And to buy into like what you're trying to accomplish with them, you have to be a little crazy, and that's okay. It's really okay. So it involves toilet paper. Yeah.
When you think of that engagement, I want to come back to what you said about breaking through the fear, because you're challenging kids to put together ideas and put together sequences of algorithms, and they need to put themselves out there and show that their learning is continuing to grow. And so talk with me a little bit more about how you engender those opportunities while breaking down the fear, especially around the fear of math for your kids.
Yeah. The fear of math is real. And I tell them, like, I bombed a math college class. I had to repeat a college course to be able to stand in front of you guys today. I'm like, you can't allow math to tell you lies about yourself, right? Like, and I have them even draw a little math pit. We talk about like the pit, you know, when you start learning something and then you start dipping into this pit, like, what are you hearing in your head? Like, what are the lies that you're hearing in your head? Like, I'm stupid. I don't get this. I'll never get it. And then you hit that rock bottom and you're like, I quit. Like, I'm going to walk out. Like, this is just, it's overwhelm. It's anxiety. It's shut down. So then I tell them, I'm like, what do you need to hear? Like, on your way up out of the pit, like, what can I or you or a peer tell you in order to encourage you up out of the pit, you know? And it's like, you know, keep going. Did you try something else? Did you try this? Like, did you seek help? Like, all of that. And it's really sweet to have them think about math in that way. Like, we've all been in that math pit, and it's really okay to be in that pit and for them to be able to own it. And I tell them, I'm like, you can look at me one day and just go, I'm in the pit. And I will sit with you, and we can figure out and strategize a game plan for you, because
so good.
Recognize that you're down and you're in the pit. What can you do now? You can't stay there forever. You can't, you know, so how are you going to work your way out? What do you need? Do you need to get up and go ask for help? Do you need to go take a walk? Do you need a water break? What do you need in order to clear your brain, so that way you can hone in back on math? Because I think math defeats a lot of kids. And that's it has for me. And so I just don't want my classroom to be that at all. It cannot be a classroom of shame, because math is just, it's been shame for too long for too many kids. Yeah.
Jackie, this is a conversation I'm going to come back to, because you just dropped so much knowledge right there at creating classrooms that are free from shame, creating classrooms where educators walk the experience with the kids, and educators offer them a lifeline. If you're in the pit, tell me, I'm going to drop you a rope and we're going to figure this out together. It's going to sit with me for so long. It's just incredible. And if you don't yet follow Jackie, Jackie's Instagram handle is on the screen, and you can see examples of those pit diagrams that she and her class have worked on together. And are those pit illustrations, are they part of your, are they on display in your classroom?
Yeah. Yeah. I just stapled them up on my blank bulletin board. I, you know how the bulletin board game goes. You have a bulletin board up for so many years, and then you're like, now it's looking really rough. Now it needs to come down. So yes, every year I like display them somewhere, just to give the kids a sense of like, oh yeah, like that can be true for me, and that's okay. So yeah, they're on my bulletin board. It's really sweet to like look at as the kids are working. Yeah.
Jackie, I was just thinking about your own personal health journey and the diagnosis of brain cancer. And I wonder too, if you are or have been in that pit. And I'm wondering if there are some parallels between the coaching that you're sharing with your kids about not despairing and not making, you know, the classroom a place of shame or despair. I wonder if there are things that you were learning along your journey that have parallels to the same advice that you're giving to your kids about getting out of that pit.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You know, it's like you can get up there and preach a bunch of stuff at your kids, but yet like who needs to hear it the most, right? Like guilty. So it has been, I've been in the pit. Like I, you know, and maybe I've been in the pit all year and I just haven't known it. I don't know. You know, it's just, it's, I've been in the pit, and especially when I had to take my leave at the end of last year, I had to leave the classroom, because I just, to do both cancer and educate was really, I hadn't figured out that dance yet. And it was really hard to say goodbye, like, because I wanted to control everything and I couldn't. I had to put me first. And you know, teachers get told that all the time, right? But like when you're faced up against it, it's like, shoot, this is now real, and I have to choose myself first, and my kids will be okay. And I had to really work through, like, I would try and control my room from home on my leave. And I, you know, the kids were taking quizzes on paper, but then I like pushed out quizzes that were online because I just thought that would be easier. And then the sub was like, can we actually just go back to the paper quiz? So it was hard. And I was like, you know what? I actually have to tap out. Like I cannot be 1 foot over here, 1 foot over there. Mm-hmm. And I'm not there. So however it's going to shake out is however it's going to shake out, and it'll be okay. The kids will be okay. So that was a hard lesson for me to learn, because I think I just wanted to control too many places that I am not in.
Well, I think you shared that the structure of the grid method has actually allowed the kids that you serve to continue with some self-directed and self-directed learning, as well as the structure and the confidence that you believe in them, even when you're not with them.
Yes. It's amazing. You know, even on Friday when I left, I was like, so you guys, you actually don't need a sub. You don't. Like, you legally, there has to be an adult in here with you, but you don't need somebody in here to tell you what to do. You already know. It's in the calendar. It's in the grid. So just do it. Just get it done. Like, and know that I will be stalking your tracking sheet and your Seesaw account from home to make sure that you're getting your stuff done. But like they, and they can do it so well, like without me there, like with or without me there, they're rock stars. They know the expectation. And again, that like that goes to the student ownership, where they can be successful even without me there. They can own their learning, get their practice, and they don't have to lean on an adult in the room to provide them those learning opportunities. So it has been the biggest thing for me and my cancer story. I mean, even in COVID, I mean, it just, it has held its own through any personal experience, like, you know, like COVID, the big experience, like it's just, it's really held up so well. And I'm just so thankful for it, because I don't know what I'd do without it.
Jackie, one of the gifts that your students and your friends and loved ones have is your voice when they are experiencing frustration, worry, despair. You know, it's an educator's voice who can help break you out of that cycle of despair and that negative self-talk. It's that outside voice that you sometimes need, that guide on the side to bring you out of the pit or out of whatever's going on. And I'm wondering, in your cancer journey and when you're in the pit, who have been those voices for you?
Yeah. A big one is my husband. Shout out to Rai Rai. He is just amazing and my biggest cheerleader, and reminds me of when I need to just sit down and stop striving. You know, after chemo, I'm quick to be like, all right, I'm back to normal. Like, what's next? What can I clean? What can I do? Like all that stuff. And he is just, he calls out the things that I need to be doing, because I should all over myself. And so he's my biggest cheerleader. And writing for me during my time away from the classroom has been really therapeutic. Because just there's this restlessness in my soul that I just cannot, like, I have to like process through, that just cancer sucks. I mean, it sucks, and it's super isolating. And it's like its own category. And in a way, like the Teach Better family so symbolizes like the cancer community. Just we've got the same thoughts, same values, same, like, or we're struggling with this. And so we're going to come together. Like it has provided a sense of community in a different way. But then again, like when you're not plugged in, right, it's like super isolating. So writing has been a huge part. And then of course my family, my brothers and my parents, like they're just the best. And they're always like, you know, what do you need? Can we make you a meal and all that? And yeah, my teacher friends and community, it just, I'm super blessed.
You know, as a fortunate follower of yours on social media, I get the privilege of getting to know your family from afar. And it's obvious that you share a lot of laughs and a lot of love. And we're just going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk about the laughter, the power of laughter. Some say it's the best medicine. So Jackie, we'll be right back. Teach Better family. We're in the Sunday weekly warm-up space each and every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern here in the Teach Better private Facebook group. We're streaming on StreamYard, so if you're joining us live, make sure you grant StreamYard permission to see your name so that you're not anonymous. We want to know who you are, where you are, where you're joining us from, and what you are getting from this incredible, fun, and meaningful conversation with middle school educator and cancer warrior Jackie Mion. Jackie, I was talking before the break about how I have the privilege of sort of getting to know your family as a follower of yours on social media. And this is our weekly giggle segment. I'm just wondering about if you can reflect on, you know, some of the things that are making you giggle, even at probably the most challenging time in your life.
Oh my gosh. Honestly, it's my kid, like my students.
Yeah.
They just, you know, they say the most impulsive things and it's the best. It's the best. Somebody's making fart noises. Somebody's being a whale. You know, it's just like they keep you young and they keep you grounded in like what's important, which is to laugh. Like, you know, the world would be a little bit better if we all just laughed a lot. So it's my students. They know what to say. Like they're just on point. Like, you know, Miss Mione, it's just the radiation, you know, and then we're all giggling about it. Like, because I can't do math on the board and I'm supposed to be able to. So there it is. Like, you know what? I love you people. It's just amazing.
It's a matter of embracing the randomness. And here's Megan's. There's nothing like a middle schooler. They're the best. I completely agree. And it really is a gift and a privilege. Brian says they're a riot. And I'll say they are if you allow yourself to laugh along with them. I mean, you know, being an educator, it's no joke. We have real learning. We have real accountability. We have real standards to uphold. And we have to get kids from A to B to C and so on. But heavens, let's make sure that we have time for laughter and we can laugh along the way. Imagine, you know, Jackie, I see the investment in engagement. I see the investment in fun and laughter that you put forward. You know, it's an investment that continues to pay off day after day, week after week. You know, you want to make your classroom, and it appears that your classroom is a place where kids look forward to being.
I can only hope so. Yeah, that is my goal. Just make it a safe space where that they want to come in and hang out. Like, even if we don't do math, it's fine. Just come in and hang out.
Can you tell us about what the coming days are going to mean for you and Ryan and family as you take some time away and you've got those messages of care, you know, holding tightly to them? What are the next few days like for you?
Yeah. So I think tomorrow I'm just going to go do some writing at a coffee shop just to kind of process that I'm heading into my week of hard. I mean, that it's hard. And so I start my treatment Monday night before bed. I take 2 pills. And I have my little routine that I like light my candle and I have my little prayer and encouragement wall next to my bed. And and then I'm like in bed for most of the week. So I will just be resting and watching a lot of TV. So if you have any like show recommendations or movies, send them my way, DM me, because I need a whole list. Cause I sleep in, like I sleep for like a good 10 hours, 10 to 12 hours. And then I get up and then I'm like back to bed at like 2 PM. So I'm just really like worn out and fatigued. And then the anti-nausea that I take with the chemo treatment does keep my nausea at bay and stops me from vomiting. So I do have an appetite and can eat, but like, then I'm dizzy from from the anti-nausea. So it's, you know what, if it's not one thing, it's another. So, just to like get away from the dizziness, I go back to bed. So it's like a sad week, like a sad 5 days. So anything's, you know what, any recommendations, I can try reading a book, but being dizzy kind of makes that hard, but any movies or shows, send them my way.
I'm reflecting on your Teach Better ambassador shirt. You've got that on proudly. Every week we have an ambassador challenge for our ambassador leaders in our Teach Better family. And I'm going to put out an impromptu ambassador challenge. In fact, a challenge for anyone in our Teach Better family, anyone watching or listening, has to reach out to Jackie in this week of suck and to share a giggle. Share some encouragement, share a takeaway that you've had from our conversation tonight, share some video recommendations. I'm going to be starting a rewatch of Ted Lasso myself, Jackie.
Oh, and so good.
It'll be my third rewatch. And that just pumps me up and fills me up. And I can channel Ted's spirit and maybe that will be a good rewatch for you too. So that's your challenge, everybody. Make sure you reach out to Jackie. Her handle is right there. Mione Middle on Instagram. And if you're a Teach Better ambassador, by all means, reach out to Jackie in our private ambassador group and send her some love, some encouragement, some giggles, and for heaven's sake, some recommendations of what to watch while she's away.
Yes, please.
Jackie, this has been an incredible, incredible show. I'm so grateful to have you as a guest. I want to take a moment just to let you know that all of us love and appreciate not only who you are, but what you do. And we're going to be thinking about you in this week ahead and in the coming weeks as you continue to meet those challenges head on. And we're grateful to know you and we want to wish you the very, very best.
Thank you so much, Brad. So thankful to be plugged into this awesome family. Keeps me better, keeps me growing. It's the best. So thank you.
Thanks to everyone watching and listening tonight. Thanks to everyone watching and listening later when we share this on all of our socials. This has been the Sunday Weekly Warm-Up. We look forward to seeing you again back here again, 8 p.m. Eastern in our private Facebook group. Have a wonderful week. And Jackie, thank you. It's been awesome.
Thank you.